Welcome to The Bridge, the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Paul Brown. Today, Pastor Paul will bring part three of a four-part series from the book of Proverbs on parenting.
Jesus is the bridge, the way to life eternal. Come and see, come and live, come and grow. Come and see, come and live, come and grow.
One summer evening during a violent thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small boy into bed. She was about to turn off the light when he asked with a tremor in his voice, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?" The mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug and said, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." There was a long silence, broken at last by a shaky little voice saying, "The big sissy." You know, sometimes parenting can be very funny, can't it? And it's those days you just want to laugh and enjoy the special moments you have with your kids. But at other times, parenting seems to be impossible, and we don't often admit it, but it's really hard and it's tiring, and it's especially difficult if we don't have the right instructions. That's why we're looking to the book of Proverbs in the Bible, written by Solomon, the wisest man on earth, and he was writing it to his son, trying to raise his child to know and love and serve the Lord and live a life of wisdom. We've been looking at this for the last couple of weeks, and we want to continue today. So far, we've seen that worldly wisdom has a lot of incorrect assumptions. Wisdom from the Bible gives us a lot of great insights, and it also gives us instructions. We said we wanted to look at the top 10 instructions from the book of Proverbs we should pass on to our kids. And last time, we looked at five of them. To fear the Lord means to reverence God, to know Him, love Him, serve Him, have a right relationship with Him. Secondly, to love and to seek knowledge and wisdom. Thirdly, to honor and obey our parents and truly anybody who's in authority over us. Fourthly, to control ourselves, our mind, body, and emotions. And fifthly, to watch our words. Boy, that's a big one, isn't it? Truly, to have great relationships, we have to watch our words. Now let's look at a sixth one, and we're going to spend our whole time today on this one. This one is critical. The sixth thing to teach your children is to select their friends and ultimately their spouse carefully. You see this all through the book of Proverbs, and this one is vital. If this is not done right, a life can be ruined. Bottom line, when all is said and done, life is all about relationships. And if we choose the wrong people to have close relationships, we can really ruin our lives. But if we choose the right people, we can develop meaningful relationships that will last not only this lifetime, but on into eternity. So let's look at how to help our kids select the right friends, and then we'll look at how else. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Now understand again, in the book of Proverbs and in all the wisdom literature, the wise person is the person who practically applies God's word to their life in a skillful manner. The fool is not an idiot. The fool is somebody who knows the truth, knows God's word, but they won't apply it to their life. So they're choosing to live their own way. And Solomon says, "Son, choose to live your life close to those that are wise." Why? The Bible warns us constantly that we will reap what we have sown. The question is, do you want to be there when fools reap what they have sown? Or do you want to be there when wise people reap what they have sown? Proverbs 28:7 says, "He who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father." You see, a good friend is submissive to authority. A bad friend is a glutton. They have no self-control. They can't even obey the commands of their own body. Their stomach is telling them, "I'm full, I'm full," but their eyes and their desires are saying, "I want more." So this person loves to cross boundaries and push it to the limit all the time. Now, they may be a lot of fun to be around in the short run, but they will bring grief and humiliation to those who truly care about them in the long run. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." The perverse man is one who deliberately deviates from what is good. They willfully choose to do what they know is wrong. And the slanderer is the one who makes complaining remarks under their breath. They complain about others when they aren't around. Watch out for people like that. I've often told people when they try to spread slander and gossip about others when they're around me, I don't want to hear that. And if you're talking about other people when I'm with you and they're not around, what are you saying about me when I'm not with you? I don't want a friend like that. You don't want your children to have friends like that. And the reality is what they're saying even true? Proverbs 17:9 says, "The better friend is he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." People that aren't truly your friend will gossip about you and they'll ruin a friendship, but a true friend will cover your weaknesses. They will protect your reputation. They'll address them with you. They will help you overcome them, but they're not going to spread them to others. Proverbs 20, verse 19, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. A bad friend gossips and tells your failures. A good friend protects your reputation because he loves you." I heard a great quote one time. "Maybe a dog is man's best friend because he wags his tail instead of his tongue." Boy, that's a great thing to remind ourselves, isn't it? Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Tell your children you can't be intimate with everyone. You can have acquaintances, but you're going to have a few really close, true friends. Invest in those relationships. Proverbs 19:4 says, "Wealth adds many friends, but a poor man is separated from his friend." You see, a bad friend is interested in what you have, not in who you are. Help your children discern that, to look for that, and to not treat others that way. Proverbs 22, verse 24 says, "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man." A bad friend is an angry, hot-tempered man. He has not learned to control his emotions, and he may erupt on you or in a situation that's going to get you in a lot of trouble. So avoid those kind of people. Proverbs 24:21, "My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those who are given to change." See, a bad friend is a chameleon. They're a hypocrite. You never know how they're going to act. They change with the weather. And you don't want a friend like that because you could be in dangerous situations. So it's critical that we teach our children to choose friends who will be true friends, friends who are in control of their own emotions, friends who love you for who you are, friends who protect your reputation, never gossip about you, friends who are willing to become closer and closer and to help you grow. That's the kind of friend that you want. Now, after we've taught our children how to select the right friends, and by the way, along the path, your children are not going to appreciate this when you point out people they should not spend time with. But you have to be their parent. Right now, you don't have to be their best friend. You need to be an authority. And if they're not going to choose the right friends, sometimes you'll have to choose for them until they grow in discernment. Now, when it comes to this next one, this is all critical. Helping them learn how to select a good spouse and apply the same principles. Their spouse someday should be their best friend, and they ought to be looking for a best friend. And this is vitally important. See, most young people today have no idea what to look for in a spouse. And our society has conditioned them from the earliest days to search based on looks. Listen, looks can come and go. And they will someday. That is not what's going to make a great marriage and a great friendship. And many don't grasp the concept of love either. They think love is all about feelings and desires. I heard the guy one time say he was so glad he found this woman because he loved himself and she loved him. It was a great relationship. No. That's not right. Love is a commitment. Love is sacrifice. Love is willing to do whatever you need to do for the other person. And children need to be taught that. We need to also help them understand the decision of who they are going to marry is the second most important decision of their life. The first one is, will they choose Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Will they become the bride of Christ? If they grasp that one, that is the most important decision. And once they've made that decision, choosing the right bride is the second most. Why? Because they will spend the rest of their life doing a visible demonstration for all around them of what the love relationship is between Jesus and his bride. They are putting that in human flesh, and they've got to choose wisely. So begin the selection process with prayer. Go to the Lord in prayer. Seek his wisdom. Ask him who is the right one for you. Proverbs 19:14 says, "House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." One commentator said, "But God is the perfect matchmaker." Cross-reference that with chapter 18, verse 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You want God's blessing on the selection of a spouse. You want his smile. You want him to lead you, and he will. He's promised he will direct our paths. So go to him in prayer. And parents, when should you start praying for your child's future spouse? Before your kids are born, when they're in the womb. Pray earnestly, pray daily for your children's future spouse, and do the same thing for your grandkids. Go to the Lord and pray on their behalf, and then train your children to pray as well. Then after all of the prayer, or in the midst of the prayer, the second thing is preparation. That's the whole book of Proverbs. This was written by a dad to his son to prepare him for life. So go to the book of Proverbs and begin to teach your children wisdom. If you've just joined us, you are listening to The Bridge. This is the radio ministry of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. I'm Pastor Paul Brown, and we are studying the book of Proverbs to learn wisdom with wee ones. How do we raise our children in a godly way? Well, as you go to the book of Proverbs to prepare your children for a future spouse, prepare them first by your own example. Show them what a great spouse looks like. Let them see that marriage is a beautiful thing. Show them the joy of serving each other, the blessing of diligence, the proper use of the tongue, the value of godly character. Model for them the right way to resolve conflict in a relationship. You see, Proverbs talks a lot about horrible marriages, but it never presents divorce as an option. It always wants you to learn how to resolve the conflicts you will inevitably experience in every relationship. And if you are a single parent and you can't model for your children a marriage relationship, then prayerfully look for a godly couple in your church where the husband and wife can be an influencer, a model, a mentor to your children, that they can observe that. Let them see it in your relationship with the Lord. Let them see that in all of your friendships, but let them be exposed to godly families as well. Well, we must prepare ourselves so our children have a living illustration of what marriage and the right spouse should be. Then we have to prepare our children, listen to this, that they would be a good spouse. Boy, the most important thing in a friendship is be a good friend. The most important thing in a marriage is be a great spouse. So prepare them to be the kind of person that God could give to them his best. You realize that someday your child is going to marry God's child? And God, as a loving father, wants to give his children to a good spouse. So train your children. Be faithful in little things. Demonstrate to the Lord that you are a faithful person that he could entrust more and more and more to. And trust me, the greatest thing he'll ever entrust to you is another person created in his image. So train your child to be a good spouse. Train them to be a doer of the word and a lover of wisdom, and help them to focus on their own character qualities we're going to discuss in a few moments. So with the prayer and with the preparation, now what are some practical instructions on marriage? Well, it's fascinating that Solomon believed in the ABCs. When you go to Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, you have 22 verses of instruction about selecting the right spouse, the right wife. This, again, was written by Solomon to his son, who's going to be a king, that he would select the right wife that would support him in his kingly duties. And there is a list of things in there, 22 verses, and Solomon wrote it that way, actually given to him by his mother. He wrote it that way because there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And he wanted it to be easy to memorize. Each verse begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet so he could remember these things, and this practical wisdom would stay with him the rest of his life. But you want your children to understand how serious this decision is. The right wife can bring great blessing. The wrong spouse can bring great cursing. We see this in Proverbs 18:22, Proverbs 21:19. 18:22 says, if you find a wife, you find a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. But Proverbs 21:19 warns, it's better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. What a contrast. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. Again, Solomon is writing this to a future king. You will have a woman that will crown your life more than the crown on your head if she's the right woman. But if she's not, she will shame you and be rottenness in your bones. This is a serious decision. So don't rush into it. And in God's mind, when you get married, this is not a contract. This is a vow. This is an oath. This is a commitment. This is a covenant, and it's permanent. You can't later say, uh-oh, I made a mistake, and then just walk away. You see, to divorce without biblical grounds and to remarry is to live in a lifestyle of ongoing adultery, according to Matthew 19 and what Jesus said. So help your child understand the seriousness of this decision. Then tell them to look for true beauty. Let me ask you a question. Is true beauty on the inside or on the outside? Now, if you can get both, it's great. That's what I found with my wife. But not everybody finds that. And by the way, if I were to choose, I would choose internal beauty. That's what God looks for. And Proverbs teaches us a principle. A man who would marry well will choose his life's mate on the basis of her character, not on the basis of her looks or her personality. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Proverbs 11:22, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion. Or 1 Peter 3 in the New Testament, Peter writes, and let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. God wants us to look to the inside. Train your child to look for character that will last a lifetime. Well, what are some of those character qualities that the Bible says are so important? Well, first of all, traits to avoid. Avoid a woman who is foolish. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Whether it's a wife or a husband, whatever your spouse, choose someone who's not a fool. Proverbs 14:1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. You want a spouse that helps you build a home for generations, not someone who destroys it. Secondly, you don't want someone, as we mentioned before, who has a bad temper. Don't hang around with someone who has a bad temper. And don't think, well, they're just doing that, we're just dating, it'll get better later. No. You better see it change and have it change for a long time before you marry someone with a bad temper. Make sure it is gone. And not someone who is contentious. Proverbs 21:9, as I said, it is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. One guy was talking to his buddy and he says, you know, my wife is very touchy. The least little thing will set her off. His friend said, you're lucky. Mine is a self-starter. Look, there's some people like that. They're just looking for a fight. They want to pick a fight. They're angry inside. They're contentious. Stay away from people like that. Thirdly, you don't want someone who's evil. Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their minds devise violence and their lips talk of trouble. Hey, they might be rich. They might be successful. They might be popular. But if they're evil, watch out, stay away, it's not worth it. Fourthly, you don't want someone with no self-control. You want someone who's going to be able to control themselves, that when you're not around them, you can still trust them. Fifthly, you don't want someone who's a gossip or a slanderer. We already saw that. Sixthly, you don't want someone who's proud. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And in Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, one of the seven things that God hates the most is pride. God says he stands opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Stay away from prideful, angry, contentious, violent, evil people. Then what you want to teach them is that there are traits that they should appreciate. First of all, that they're godly. Find a person who's godly. You see, if your child is a follower of Jesus Christ, they must marry another follower of Jesus Christ. It is wrong biblically for a Christian to marry someone who is not a Christian. They need to look for a godly follower of Jesus, a person who fears the Lord, as we have seen earlier. We want to find that kind of person, a person who is godly in trusting the Lord and experiencing his strength, his ability, his capability, his excellence, his qualities, much like Ruth is described in Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. Find a person of strong, godly character. Secondly, find someone who's a good friend. All the things we talked about. The word that means the closest, most intimate friend in the Hebrew language is used of a marriage partner. We need to help our kids look for the best friend possible. And teach them. If you don't have a great friendship with your own siblings and your own friend, you're not going to be a good friend to your spouse, so bring it back to them as well. Then have them look for someone who is wise. A godly spouse will give wise counsel. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, so a man's counsel is sweet to his friend. Proverbs 31:26, she opens her mouth in wisdom and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. You see, the ungodly spouse does the opposite. They don't know anything. They don't have wisdom to pass on. You want a wise spouse who will help you in the difficult decisions of life. Then one who honors authority. They're submissive to authority. If they're submissive to authority, they'll be submissive in your relationship as well. Then one who is gracious and kind, compassionate and merciful. They know how to have those social graces. They are kind and they're forgiving and they're gentle and they work well with other people. Then someone who is faithful, pure, and has self-control. They're able to be trusted. They're faithful inside. They have a pure heart. They've controlled their life. You know, if they go on a business trip, you're not worried about what they're doing. They are that kind of person. Then help them look for someone who's honest and resolves conflicts. Our society says that you should just divorce because of irreconcilable differences. Listen, if you know how to resolve conflicts, there's no such thing. You'll work everything out. Then you want someone who's thoughtful and tactful. They know when to speak, they know what to speak, they know how to speak it, they know that a gentle answer turns away wrath. And then you want someone who challenges you to grow. They're the person who draws hard things out of the depth of your soul. They're like iron sharpening iron. And then finally, someone who's hardworking, not a sluggard, not a lazy person, someone who's willing to put in the effort, because relationships take effort. Relationships are hard. Parenting is hard work. Growing old is painfully difficult. And you want someone who will walk with you diligently and faithfully all the days of your life. Parents, we have an incredibly diverse and difficult task in raising our kids. One of the most critical things we can help them with is to choose their friends and choose their wife or spouse wisely. How do we do that? Through prayer, through preparation, and practical instruction. Get involved in this task. Be committed to your children. Help them have great relationships all the days of their life.
Thank you for listening to The Bridge with Pastor Paul Brown of The Bridge Bible Fellowship in Reseda, California. Pastor Paul would love for you to join us for a worship service at 9 a.m. on a Sunday morning, where he is currently teaching verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. We have a fantastic children's program during the worship service, and then Sunday school for nursery through adults at 10:45 a.m. We are located at 18644 Sherman Way in Reseda, California. To learn more about our church, please go to our website at www.thebridgebiblefellowship.com. On our website, you can listen to past sermons and radio broadcasts. And please, join us again next Saturday at 7:30 a.m. on 99.5 KKLA.